Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good whatever it is you are listening to this. This is the Macko and Cos podcast. I'm Matt Cos, and that is Bob. How you doing, Bob?
Jolly old Saint Nick, Matt. I've now got it on my business card. It's added to my resume. If you check IMDb under Bob Mackowitz, well, you won't find anything. But if you did find something, you would see actor,
yep,
Santa, St. Vincent de Paul Christmas Jubilee 2017.
For people that are new to the podcast, last week it was left on a harrowing cliffhanger. Bob Mackowitz was playing Santa for, I believe, 3 hours.
Four hours
at his child's school. Bob, how did it go?
It went off without a hitch, which is the key. Mm-hmm. Now, I did learn a couple things about playing Santa along the way.
For that you can use for next year.
That's right. I was stashing away on my little 3x5 cards.
Yeah.
The inevitability of a child, like, there will be at least one kid that you terrify them.
Of course.
You terrify them, and you see the terror in their eyes, and it's actually kind of heartbreaking, Maddie.
Yeah, because you're like, I don't want to do this.
No, I'm just your friend's dad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm nobody. Because they are so scared. So scared. And then the parents, they have to, like, sometimes shove the kids to go up.
Because that's humiliating.
It is. And the kid's right. You know, like, I'm a creepy guy in a big red suit with an enormous beard. They don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
I think the kid's right. I feel like maybe,
but, you know,
the kid deserves more credit there.
Bob, I'm going to be the right-wing fella here. And once again, classic liberal parents who are babying their snowflake children. Santa Claus is the greatest person, entity on the planet. He brings you toys. The least you can do for the fat man is come up with a jolly smile yourself. Don't cry in front of Santa Claus.
Well, and he is bringing you stuff.
He's bringing you toys.
It went well. What I really, I was tired afterwards, boy. Holy cow. I got
4 hours?
I felt like I'd been hit by a bus.
Yeah.
The one thing that I really did notice, though, was how hot the suit was. I even had a fan on me.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of those sort of stand fans, you know? And I took out my pillow at the end of it. And the pillow was soaked.
Oh, was poor pillow.
Soaked. The pillow never stood a chance. It went well, Matt.
Yep.
I don't think I'm going to do it again.
Okay.
But it's a life's experience, and I can at least say I've done it once.
You've checked that off. You've done Santa.
Bucket list.
Bucket list. That's all. By the way, that is a horrible bucket list.
I feel like I could have shot higher.
Yeah, a little bit higher. But that's it. You're retiring. You're going out on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like Jordan. It was like hitting the big shot. I feel like Barry Sanders in a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
even though I never won the Super Bowl. But
yeah,
well, neither did he. I guess that's the point.
That's what you two have in common. Many things. That's one of them.
So it was good. So that was my weekend.
Mm-hmm.
How was yours trying to get around without a car? Because you still have car situations, right?
Yeah, we're going to get in a car in a second, but I want one other sort of Christmas thing.
Okay.
I'm over at your place, and you got the Christmas tree up, and it looks great. It's decorated, and I love seeing all the different individual things, especially the little personalized ones. I haven't had a chance to fully investigate. My question, is that tree real or fake?
It's fake.
Okay.
Now, I'm a real tree person,
mm-hmm.
but my wife isn't.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any question how badly I lost this debate.
Well, yeah, because it's a fake one.
It's a fake one, but it was never really close. Because the argument was, I don't want to have to vacuum underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some minor safety ones as well. But in the end, I really couldn't make a case other than I just don't like artificial trees.
Yeah. And okay, so I'm not going to go into a thing about how this is an abomination because it's really, it's decorated nice and it's cute and it looks good here.
But you and I are of the same mind,
it's a real tree. Real tree or death. And thankfully, Amy.
Well, death
course,
for the tree, actually, ironically.
Yeah. Well, you know, it goes to a good home. But the bigger thing is the Christmas tree is one of those things where I judge everyone's home. And I was thinking about it because there's no reason for me to judge. Like it doesn't affect me at all. And you know what the thought that went through my head is people that judge things that don't affect them. Like say breastfeeding. You know, like I never knew until people I knew had kids, and you know, I started to, you know, get to know some moms, because, you know, people my age, my peer group, and I was shocked that there is like pressure, or that that is actually an issue. And it always amazed me that people judge who does or who doesn't breastfeed, because like, what does it matter to you in your life? And my version of that is the Christmas tree. It doesn't impact me at all, and yet I judge.
Couple things. First of all,
yeah,
you judge all kinds of stuff. Every time you come over here, you have a laundry list of judgments that you make about my home and how I choose to live. But I have them against you, too.
But those affect me. It's like, there's no towel here. What do I do with my moist hands after I've washed them? You see, those things affect me. The tree doesn't.
And I've never judged, I've never publicly judged you for having Decanter magazine in your magazine rack in your bathroom on the first floor.
That is true.
There was actually an article, the big lead article on the cover of Decanter magazine was Terroir.
Yeah.
Fact or fiction.
Oh, it's, by the way, Bob, that's an old article. That debate still rages on to this day.
It's a hot one.
It is.
Hot take. What is the answer, by the way?
It does. Okay. Yeah. Terroir, it has to. Why does Riesling taste different in Clare Valley than it does in the Moselle?
So, okay, good. I'm glad we cleared that up. Yeah. Okay, so yes, you are constantly judging.
Okay.
And I come from the world of parents. Like, you know, you were saying you never noticed. That's all parents do is judge each other.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
You guys, it's so tough. Like, I think
you can't win, Maddie. Oh. You just can't win. You know, your kid shows up somewhere and is in a bad mood. Bad parents. You know, you forget your kid goes to school without their hat one day.
Yeah.
Bad parents.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's endless. It's relentless. And I think the breastfeeding thing actually is a serious version of it. Because I think a lot of women have a hard time with that. Like,
yeah,
as though somehow. Easy. No, because like what mom wants to say? Yeah, I'm just going to ruin my kid. I'm going to ruin my kid either because I'm deficient or I'm lazy.
Yeah.
Like
none.
No, but that's the kind of narrative that accumulates around that issue. It's really tough, man. People get judgy.
Yeah, it's really, a bad one. They really do. So, yeah, I was just, hey, I don't know.
Can you filibuster about the tree? Maybe take a look at it because I got to get my rice. I got to turn the heat down on my rice. Okay.
Bob is cooking rice, and yeah, you could start to smell it a little bit. Just by the way, the sneaky hardest thing to cook is rice. Rice is very difficult. So I'm looking at Bob's tree here, and it's an angel on the top. We got some cute dogs. We got a bunch of nutcrackers. A very sort of feels like a Persian sort
actually,
of.
Since we're doing, I got the mic again now. Since we're doing the tree, so this here is our one of our pride and joys. This is our little David Bowie ornament.
Aww.
That's for my wife.
Oh yeah, nice.
And if you look carefully, you may not be able to with the mic reaching, but there's one here. This is Bjork.
Yeah.
And that's for my daughter.
Yeah.
And there's one here for me, and it's Jimi Hendrix.
Nice.
All purchased at the Drake General Store. So, yeah, it's a rock and roll Christmas tree.
And at the Drake General Store, I bet it was very reasonably well priced.
Wasn't bad. It was about $10 an ornament.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Actually, I have no concept if that's a lot or not a lot.
I don't either.
I have no idea.
But I wanted them, and I got them.
Done and done.
All right. So, shall we...
Car talk.
Let's save car talk a little bit later.
Yeah.
So let's get into our takeaways. Do you got something you want to do out of the gate or?
Yeah. Once again, and we saw it in the Grey Cup, and we saw it on Sunday. Snow makes football better because no one was going to watch the Bills and Colts game. No one was going to watch Jacoby Brissett versus Nathan Peterman. Hooray! No one was going to watch that. I had that game on the entire time.
Quick sidebar. Is Jacoby Brissett good? Because I feel like he's probably at least pretty good.
If you compare him to the other quarterbacks, absolutely. Actually, he's not bad.
He's kind of a middle of the road.
He's a middle of the road guy.
He would be a starter on a bunch of teams, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So even though he's holding the fort for Andrew Luck, he feels like one of those guys like a Matt Cassel that's going to get a nice contract out of this.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that Green Bay? No, who?
It was Green Bay, and he went to Seattle.
Seattle,
Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn? I'm trying to remember his name. And what did he have? Like two starts?
He had two starts. One of them was against Detroit, where he had like 480 passing yards, like six touchdowns. And then he got the deal with Seattle. We're all giggling, going, "That's a dumb move." And the best thing Pete Carroll's ever done as a coach was first day of training camp. He had Matt Flynn, who the ownership spent a lot of money on, and he had a second-round draft pick in Russell Wilson. And on first day, he's like, Flynn, bench. This guy here, he's our starting quarterback. That takes balls.
Does. Okay, so getting back to it, snow games. So you loved it.
Loved it.
And it was genuine lake effect snow. It wasn't a little snow. Like they were going at sometimes Geez, it had to look like, what, about 6 to 8 inches of snow?
Easily. There'd be times when the guy would fall, and you're like, wait, where'd he go? Oh, yeah, he's in the snow.
A receiver would grab the ball, and you'd be like, it's a catch, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe.
How
sure.
can anyone tell? I'll wait for the cloud to disperse.
Yeah.
So you love it.
Love it.
Here's my thing. I'm deeply tormented on snow games because the novelty factor is so high. You got to be a bit of a Grinch not to love it.
Yes.
But
here we go.
There's no actual football that goes on. Like, I look, you know that I believe the Bills will be 8-8.
Yeah.
And I believe they've taken a step, you know, just yesterday towards that goal.
They are, yeah.
So, but let's say, for example, this was actually an important game that we believed might have playoff consequences.
Mm-hmm.
How do you officiate a game like that? The whole thing about the final play of the game, you know, the 2-point conversion, was it pass interference? It didn't look like it to me. But it's like we don't even talk about that. It's not even relevant how the game was officiated because the snow was so great. I felt like the game was over. That to me just looked like two play. It was a pick play.
Yeah.
They ran a pick play and the officials made a horrific call.
Mm-hmm.
But they did it in a blizzard.
Yep.
So what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Listen, no one would have watched that game otherwise.
Granted.
And that's the thing.
But if we believe that games have consequences and those consequences matter, then what we had is a debacle of a game.
You did, but both
sides. Kelvin Benjamin made a catch downfield and didn't make the catch downfield, but he had a player draped on him.
Yeah.
He had a player draped on him like the Santa suit was draped on me this weekend, and there was no call. Mm-hmm. But why would there be? Because they have no idea what's a penalty and what isn't.
But both sides are equally affected by it. And you're right. It would be different if that was the Super Bowl. Remember a couple years ago they had it in New York. It would have felt different if the stakes were that high.
Okay, you got to admit, though, if you're a Colts fan, I don't know how many are left this season, but if you were one, that's an infuriating ending of the game. They have a final minute drive.
Yep.
They finally make it into the end zone. They cash it in for two, and they call it back on what looked to me like an absolutely atrocious call.
Yeah.
But nobody cares.
No one cares. I will grant you this. If it was the Super Bowl or a huge game, then it would feel... it wouldn't feel right. Because, like, wait a minute, this team, its whole year was built on being able to pass and the great receiver, da-da-da-da, and now all they can do is do fullback plunge up the middle. But for that game, I mean, that was a ton of fun. So that's...
It's probably not one that's going to go on the free agent demo reel.
I always think that. If you're the general manager, like, damn it, people are watching this. Or if you're... You know, it's the other thing I think of? If you're the Buffalo Board of Trade, like, damn it, this is not going to help our ability to get tourists to come and visit our fair city.
It really looked like a tough sell on future quarterbacks. You better draft one.
And thank God, though, that Buffalo won, because... How much would that have sucked if you spent sitting there in a blizzard of punts for 4.5 hours, driving in there, it's going to be tough, driving out, it's going to be horrible. And if your team had lost or a tie, that would have been disappointing.
Sean McDermott had a chance to go for it on 4th and 3.
Yep.
With about 5 minutes left, and he chose to punt, which ultimately was the right call. I mean, it worked out for them. But the fans were not happy.
Oh, no.
And they downplayed it on the broadcast, but they were throwing snowballs. And it sounded like there were a lot of snowballs, but they didn't want to make a big deal of it.
Yeah.
Kind of like a streaker when somebody goes running across the field naked and they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And they cut away. I would love to know, actually, what the crowd reaction really was like in that moment.
I bet
it was very hostile.
Yeah, 100%. There'd be snowballs all over the place.
Very consequential week in the NFL this week.
Well, the
Carson Wentz going down, possible ACL. Do we have confirmation on that?
Nothing as of yet. I mean, that's the biggest story. Is the Carson Wentz injury, because, you know, it just goes to the narrative of this year in football and all the injuries that have happened. You know,
this is just the NFL can't have good things this year. Deshaun Watson looks like an exciting new quarterback.
Yep.
Gonzo. Aaron Rodgers.
Gone.
Always popular. Gone. And finally,
J.J. Watt, Odell Beckham, Andrew Luck. You know, you go up and down. It's just injury, injury, injury. It's
budding star and probable MVP candidate,
mm-hmm.
Probable MVP winner, and he winds up going down. Looks like he's gone for good.
Yeah.
Certainly this season. That's a tough one. And
Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, David Johnson, who was the leading rusher last year. Hell, Derek Carr last year at this time was the MVP candidate, the number one MVP candidate of the NFL. Then he broke his leg, and he hasn't been the same guy this year.
And Oakland went out. Not with a bang, but with a whimper yesterday to Kansas City. So you could just feel like a team that... The NFL is always more fun when Oakland's good. Just because of the legacy of being, you know, a bad, nasty team. John Madden, Jim Plunkett, all those guys. Anyway, what I actually thought was the real takeaway yesterday wasn't Carson Wentz, but it was Ben Roethlisberger's performance against Baltimore.
500 yards?
Unbelievable. I believe he's the only QB now to have three separate 500-yard games.
Yep.
At the beginning of the year, I had a hot take that said the Steelers will win the AFC this year. Mm-hmm. Now, are we still... I'll put it to this. This is my Goldilocks take. I'm going to throw it out again. The Steelers will win the AFC. Too hot, too cold, just right.
It is somewhere in between just right and too hot, because they always fare horribly against the Patriots, and especially in the Super Bowl. And you could say, well, it's different teams. Yeah, but it's still Belichick and Brady. If Gronk is healthy, I don't see Pittsburgh winning unless, of course, you know, you get the fluke plays.
Now, what if Pittsburgh wins this week and they wind up with home field advantage? We've seen New England on the road or in that championship game choke before. Now, it's a bit unfair because they've won so many times that when they do not, you know, when they flop, people tend to hold that against them. That's probably unfair. That said, though, if you're playing this game in Pittsburgh, and that'll be determined this week probably, is it still too hot to take then? Home field advantage against the Pats in that championship game.
It probably isn't, but because I'm just so conditioned to, you know, Brady and the Patriots winning, it feels like a hot take, but logically it probably isn't because, and again, it goes down to this one simple question. At some point, doesn't it have to end? At some point, doesn't the Brady dynasty have to come to an end? What do you think the NFL's rooting for? Because New England... I think all of the NFL, actually, I just convinced myself, everyone in the NFL would be rooting for Pittsburgh.
100%.
Everyone. Because Pittsburgh also travels. It's a legacy team. It'd be good for ratings. I forget where the Super Bowl is.
If it was Jacksonville, there'd be lots of people who want to see the legacy team and the Patriots get through. But the Steelers have more pedigree than the Pats do, if you go back historically.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. God, everyone's going to be rooting for Pittsburgh.
I will. Won't you?
What's that? Oh, yeah, 100%. It's just, it's fatigue. It's 100% fatigue. But yeah, Roethlisberger, fantastic. Over 500 against the Ravens.
And the Ravens are still in the hunt.
They're still in the hunt.
Is there another team in the NFL that is more quietly a part of the playoff hunt than the Baltimore Ravens, who felt like and also ran by week four?
Yeah. And it's because Joe Flacco is captain check down. And it just, they're such a blah team.
They're a team with absolutely... zero charisma.
Zero charisma.
Absolutely zero charisma.
What's the storyline in Baltimore? I mean,
I have no idea.
None at all.
I have spent 0 minutes thinking about Baltimore this NFL season. And yet I pick up my head yesterday and they're in the wild card hunt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Buffalo still alive, though we both know they'll end up
8-8.
Yeah, they're going to end up 8-8. I have one other thought on Wentz, but not about the injury and QB rankings and now who's the favorite in the NFC. That hit... the defender went low, hit him in the leg. Could have gone high. And you hear this, a lot of players have said they would rather be hit in the head than hit in the leg because a concussion, you can come back and play next week, in theory. But a hit to the leg and torn MCL, ACL, Wentz is now out for the year.
To sum it up, hits to the head ruin your life and hits to the knee ruin your career.
Perfect. That is a perfect way of putting it. And I thought about that because one of the unintended consequences of everyone trying to be safer, which is a good thing, is Wentz got hit in, and who knows, it was so fast. But my first thought was a couple of years ago, the linebacker would have launched higher and gone more for the head or the shoulder versus what we saw, you know, what we saw yesterday.
You pick your poison if you're the league. You put the quarterbacks at greater risk to having career-ending injuries.
Yeah.
But less legal liability. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're ever going to see a return to those high hits. Not with what the league has been through legally.
Yep. Well, actually, in one other thing.
But to your point, though, and this has kind of been your hobby horse for the last, 3 months on this pod, is that the NFL's dying because the star power is diluted, either through injury or just the fact that only QBs matter anymore.
Only QBs matter. They are. And so whenever one goes down, you feel it more. Did you remember that David Johnson was out?
No.
He led the league in rushing last year. Man, no one cares. But when the quarterback goes out, we care. And the unintended...
We started off this pod talking about Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, exactly.
And whether or not he'd be... That's how far down the road we are.
Yes, you're right. It's all about the quarterback. But again, The consequence of everyone being healthier is everyone is more injured. Hey, look how much faster and bigger and stronger, and everyone's leaner with less body fat. And man, that guy's running fast, and he's 300 pounds. And it's all, you know, what we're seeing now is a result of that.
It's a pretty crazy irony, and you see it as well in hockey, how these guys have become so strong, so fast.
Yep.
At a certain point, I think every sport outgrows its ability to contain its own athletes. We saw this in tennis. That, you know, for a long time there, it just became serve, volley, point, serve, yep. volley, point. The technology, and they actually had to start, you know, monkeying around with the rackets to make sure that they weren't too tight. And, you know, technology, you see this in NASCAR. Eventually, you get so good at perfecting your sport, it's almost like you defeat your own purposes. Weird, right?
Yeah. Oh, God,
it's
yeah.
a weird irony.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of defeating your own purposes, maybe we could do the big question here with the Leafs.
Yeah.
We talked. I like the fact that we're playing fast and free with where we put the big question in our pod.
Hey, you know, we keep people wondering, where is it going to be? It was at the end always, but now, bam, you know, it's in the middle.
So this is your takeaway, basically. I thought it was interesting enough to make it a big question, but it comes very nicely on the heels of two big wins for the Leafs over the weekend.
Yep.
Back-to-backs against two teams that are pretty fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And yet both games that had a lot of pluses and a lot of negatives to them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They, you know, they beat Pittsburgh, but in a game where, you know, the stat was out there. Auston Matthews was outshot 18-0 when he was going up against Crosby. So, you know, now it's like, oh, wait, can we criticize that? And Edmonton, not a great team, but a lot of fun. They dominated Toronto, but Toronto won, and Curtis McElhinney.
They dominated for the final 58 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. The first 2 minutes, and great job by Nylander at center, you know, helping to generate to start that goal by Zach Hyman. And it was great. I was at a viewing party at a bar called The Pint, a TSN 1050 thing, and all these listeners and stuff. And I'm chatting with someone, and then, boom, they score. I'm like, all right, it's going to be great. And then 20 minutes later, hey, it's still 1-0. But the bigger question is, does it feel odd or more difficult to criticize the Leafs when they're so good right now? And yet there's like legitimate things you can quit. You can, maybe you can argue about and be worried about. And so it leaves me in a state of confusion.
So maybe we throw it out this way. Does complaining about the Leafs make you a bad person? Because it does feel to a certain extent, if you're that guy who wants to point out the negatives,
yeah,
you're a bit on an island right now. And maybe you should be.
And maybe you should. Yeah. But then the other side is, you know, it's fine to ignore the result if there are things in the process that are going wrong that need to be brought up.
Okay, so I'm going to be that guy. Yeah. I'm going to be that guy right now. I think there are things with the Leafs that, I don't know if you complain about them as much as you simply observe them and hope that they get fixed. Number one is Nylander's ice time.
Yeah.
Now, it was a bit different yesterday because he was playing center on the top line, and that was out of necessity. But he played, I believe it was a career low, under 9 minutes on Saturday night.
Yeah.
The elevator was on the bottom floor.
Yep.
The elevator was in the sub-basement that night.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of people questioning, well, what the hell's going on? If you're not going to put him with good players, he's not going to score. If he doesn't score, you're going to keep him with bad players. A self-fulfilling prophecy. And I think there's legitimacy to that. It's entirely possible Babcock just wants to school him.
Yeah.
And
there's a bigger plan.
Here. Right. And there's growing pains, and he's got higher expectations on his defensive game than maybe he's willing to acknowledge right now, but Babcock sees it in his future. That said, though, under 9 minutes for William Nylander is pretty nutty, Matty.
That is really nutty. So then you complain. But like, wait a minute, they beat Pittsburgh. You know, a team that started out slow, but it's been playing great in the month of November.
Well, they're the Stanley Cup champs.
Yeah, exactly. But like October, they gave two bleeps about the start of the year. They had losses of 10-1, 7-1, 7-1. But they've been playing great in the month of November. And so they beat Pittsburgh. But then you're like, hey, wait a minute. Nylander plays 9 minutes, and Auston Matthews got schooled by Sidney Crosby. So then you're left with this, do I complain? But they just won, and they've got, you know, the second best record in the East. And so it leaves you in a sort of weird position.
The fans love Babcock because with Babcock has come winning.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt like it was such a big piece of the rebuild to go out and get a bona fide coach.
Yeah.
I wonder how hard it is to play for him. You know, it's not like Detroit, while they were having all that success, was doing great with free agents.
Yep.
And, you know, Lidstrom did retire early. I've always heard whispers that, you know, the guys didn't really love playing for him in Detroit. And there were guys who weren't exactly crying when it was time for him to move on. I wonder if we're going to see a bit of that with Nylander. I just wonder how hard it is. I'm sure that it's very hard to have him in the boardroom.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what I wonder? Oh, and by the way, here's Sandra Pacheco. She's going out. Hi, Sandra.
I got a Mrs. Claus just gave me a kiss on the cheek. Do you want to say hi?
Oh, hi.
Do you want to comment on the fact that you hate Christmas by having a fake Christmas tree?
Oh, I...
Gotcha question from me.
Yeah, it really is. I wasn't expecting that. I hate to love this tree. I do.
Yeah.
I do, but...
It looks great, though. I mean, like, the decorations, the tree looks great.
Yeah, no, I think the thing for us is, one, like, pine bugs me.
Yes.
It does, the smell of pine. It gets me all sniffly and stuff like that.
Did you hear the sentence structure? Yeah. Wait, did you hear the structure? I think the thing for us is that pine bugs me.
Yeah, it started with us and then went to
me. I'm getting to the us part. So the other thing is, both me and Bob are not handy at all. Mm-hmm. So we struggled every year trying to put up a pine tree, and it would fall over. Like every week, that thing, we'd be thinking about it way too much because it would be like leaning in the corner. We'd put a chair up against it. We'd tie it, like we try to tie it to the side. So this tree is idiot proof. And we're both idiots. So,
well, one follow up to that is that it's legitimate because our tree fell this year and that stinks. And then, like, for the next week or so, you're always watching it. But I don't own tools. And so I am not handy as well.
Right.
If I can get it done, then. But anyway. Also.
But you didn't. Get it done.
Oh, no, we still have it. We still have a real tree every year. It did fall, but we bounced back from it. We climbed up. You know, that's perseverance.
Yeah, but when you're saying we, should you include yourself in that we equation, or?
What are you talking about?
I don't know. Is Amy doing it?
No, it's both. It's both of us with the tree.
Would Amy agree?
She loves Christmas trees more than I do.
All right.
Yeah, loves. Oh, while I have you here, because I can't ask Bob this, and we're going to talk about cars in a second. I got to get a new car. Any suggestions? Because I'm not going to ask Bob.
Ask Charlotte. Okay. She saw a priest getting into a Chrysler last week, and she's like, oh, I know why he's driving it, because the Chrysler logo is a cross, and there's Christ in Chrysler. She knows her cars, man.
Oh, my God.
I'm not your person. Bob's not your person.
She's the smartest person in that class. She has to be. That's fantastic. All right. I've hijacked this enough.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Sandra.
Bye, Sam.
Bye.
I feel bad.
That was a nice little diversion. Really, I could answer a text or two. That was great. Thanks, Maddie.
I feel bad. That was such a gotcha question because I got her flustered with
you
the
did.
Christmas tree.
You did.
I almost felt bad.
Gotcha media with all your questions.
Exactly. I was going to go into it. Roy Moore, the next one.
She gave you the fake news about the tree.
Yeah, exactly.
It is just quick added on sidebar here. All the amazing things we have in this world. Nanotechnology, mm-hmm. The Hubble telescope.
Yep.
Why is there not a good Christmas tree stand?
I know. Trust me. We had to deal with that this year.
Yeah, you had a tree fall over.
Yeah, it fell. Oh, it's devastating when that happens. Anyway, back to the Leafs.
Okay.
I had a thought about Nylander and about Babcock.
Okay.
I think Babcock, is Babcock pulling a Miyagi? Is Nylander on the fourth line, the wax the car, paint the fence? Where this is, I mean, you know, Danielson hated that, but eventually it led to him winning, you know, it led to him winning the karate tournament. I wonder, is Babcock just trying to Miyagi-ing Nylander?
I think that's a really, really bang on analogy. I like it because he doesn't want him to turn out like those jerks in the Cobra Kai.
Yeah, exactly.
That had all the talent, but in the end didn't win and certainly didn't have the dignity and nobility.
He's
getting Miyagi'd.
Yes, he's Miyagi'ing him. By the way, the parents on Cobra Kai, those are the worst parents ever. They're basically telling their kid, kill him. You know, like calm down. It's you know, it's your kid's karate tournament.
Best part of that movie was when the evil sensei from Cobra Kai gives the take out his knee sign.
Yeah, it's like, you're a bad dad. You're a really bad dad. Don't be like that, dad.
So whether or not it's okay to criticize the Leafs, I think the way Nylander's being handled, you got to watch for it. It's not even like he's been bad this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, not at all.
He's on pace to score about as many as he did last year. And as we know, he's cold and hot and cold and hot, and that's what scorers do.
Yeah.
There's bigger questions. Like, I'm always aware of the Marleau contract, which looks terrific in this year, but nobody thought it wouldn't. everybody thought Marlo would come in and contribute, and he's been really terrific. It's just the third year. Mm-hmm. We're not going to complain about that now. We're merely watching it. And when Zaitsev signed that long deal, people are like, it's a little bit high for that guy. And right now, it doesn't feel like that's paying dividends. The thing about contracts, and this is where you get into the complainy stuff that is more realistic.
Yeah.
Man, in the current NHL, your contract structure is your destiny. It's really hard to get player movement, and you are so tied into bad decisions. So when those guys are really ready to win, and maybe not now, but in 2 years, we'll see how much ability the Leafs have to make moves. That is not a complainy thing on a game-by-game basis. It's almost like you're on notice. You're on notice, Lou Lamoriello, because these are your deals, and I'm not sure they're great.
But he also is the one who brought in Frederik Andersen. So what are you doing complaining?
Frederik Andersen.
What are you doing complaining?
Frederik Andersen could get cold again, though. Mm-hmm. That's another guy that we've seen be really hot and really cold. I don't know what to say about Frederik Andersen. I feel like I have no right to talk about him.
I brought that up to highlight the initial point of this question, which is how difficult it is, even though there's things out there, to criticize the Leafs right now. So as you criticize that, the Zaitsev and Marlow deal, it's like, hey, he brought in Frederik Andersen.
Last night, perfect thing. So Roman Pulak is brought in to help the PK.
Yeah.
And the PK's been great.
Yeah.
But Roman Pulak's taking dumb penalties. Mm-hmm. So was it stupid to bring him in? Well, I guess so. But then are you going to complain about the penalty kill? Well, you can't. They killed off a 5-on-3.
Yep.
Other than McElhinney, that was the number one reason they actually won that game. Mm-hmm. So there you have it, Matty. A perfect textbook example of how am I supposed to complain about something when it was actually good but also broken.
And also, Bob, how are you supposed to display your ability to kill the penalty
unless
you commit
penalties.
A penalty?
Right.
You can't show off your PK unless you're committing dumb penalties.
I looked at the graphic they had going up into last night's game about how he has a 900 save percentage, Curtis McElhinney.
Yep.
And then he looked terrific. He stopped 41 shots.
Yeah.
Some of them were luck, but that's going to be the case. You know,
but some of them were not. He didn't score, but Connor McDavid.
Stone Connor McDavid.
Damn.
Take that, buddy.
Yeah, I guess on this day, McDavid may be better than Austin Matthews.
So is McDavid, it's really too bad that Matthews wasn't in that game. I mean, they have one chance in Toronto per season to have them go head-to-head.
Yeah, that was a shame. And that
sucked.
Yeah, and I wonder just about, you can't help but wonder about the health of Matthews.
He hasn't really been the same, but, you know, we saw this with Marner at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing, they're contributing, but they're not as explosive or creative or dynamic as they have been. He's obviously still a great player, but I'm with you. I believe Babcock at the end in his press conference said something like, it's an upper body something or other.
I'll tell you right now, you know what Mike Babcock sounded like? He sounded like your wife when I grilled her about the Christmas tree. It's kind of the same.
Okay, so can we make some good things out of this weekend, though?
Because
it was a shame that McDavid, man, I feel bad for McDavid. We should just call him the island because he is out there alone. He's setting up guys all over the ice. There was that one setup to Letestu in front of the net, and Letestu just parked it right into McElhinney's chest.
Yeah.
It looked great, but it really wasn't much of a tough save.
Well, they signed that 8-year deal, so you got 7 more after this, or 8 years after this, Connor.
I don't feel bad for him in the sense that he chose to stay in Edmonton.
Yeah.
You make your bed, you lie in it.
Yeah.
But man, that organization, they are cursed. They're not cursed.
They're not cursed.
They're dumb.
They're dumb.
They're dumb. I take it back. They're just dumb. And I have to admit, as much as I want McDavid to succeed for the good of the league and you want him to be part of a great team because it'd be so much fun to watch him, I got no time for Shirelli, and I got no time for the way Edmonton ownership has handled its business. So if they want to go down the sinkhole, fine. Let him go. And if they take Connor with them, I guess that's the way it goes.
Oh, man. At some point, if this continues for Edmonton a year from now, the save Connor or free Connor McDavid conversation is going to be massive. And the funny thing about that is it's going to go totally against the normal hockey culture where you sign the long-term deal, you stay in the one place. You know, there's only been one Gretzky when he left for L.A., but that could change a year or so from now if things are still that bad in Edmonton.
Yeah, we'll see where John Tavares winds up. That might be a narrative buster for you.
Yep.
Because will he stay in New York? He says he wants to stay in New York, but I guess you have to have an arena and an actual city for that.
Yes, you do. That is definitely critical. But yeah, what a great weekend for Toronto. Like on Saturday night, when the Leafs were up against, or when the Leafs beat the Penguins, and Montreal lost, and TFC won the championship. Saturday was a great night for a Toronto sports fan.
It was a cold weekend, mm-hmm. and it felt like the beginning of winter fun.
Yes.
This is the fun part of winter. Your team is winning. You're not sick of the snow and the cold yet. Well, we'll check back in February and see how that's going. But for now, this is December, pre-Christmas, everything's rosy.
Yep.
Actually, there was one thing that happened over the weekend that wasn't so great for Toronto, and it's part of my takeaways. Shall we get into this?
Do it.
Didn't actually happen to a Toronto team directly, but it will affect the Blue Jays.
Oh.
And that was the signing of Giancarlo Stanton. Yeah. Or not the signing, the trade for Stanton to the New York Yankees, which opened up a floodgate of we got to blow this team up because we'll never be able to compete in the AL East conversation.
Yeah, it feels like the late 90s and the early 2000s right now.
Now, my real takeaway we'll get to in a moment, but to do that, I feel like we need some setup.
Okay.
Where do you stand on the Jays should blow it up because they're old and they were a 76-win team last year, and the Yankees and Red Sox looked poised for sustained success. So where are you on the blow it up scale?
I'm on blow it up because I don't see a lot of young talent. So yeah, 100%. Beyond Stroman and beyond Sanchez and Osuna, I don't see a lot of young talent. Donaldson's over 30.
Yeah, he turned 32 this past week, I believe.
So I'm unfortunately in the blow it up. We know it can work. And I would much rather, I don't like piecemeal. I don't like, you know, what the Canucks were doing for a couple of years where it's like, well, we're competing. Oh, we're rebuilding. You know, rebuilding on the fly is really difficult. We had those two fantastic years. Blow it up.
So I'm against that philosophy. Mm-hmm. I generally don't think that the Jays are in a blow it up position. For one, there were so many injuries last year that really, they killed the team. I mean, you didn't have Donaldson for 50 games.
Yep.
That was huge. You had Aaron Sanchez's blister mm-hmm. problem. They're probably, I don't want to make up war numbers off the top of my head, but with both those players healthy and having a normal year
yep.
health-wise, they got to be 5 or 6 wins better just from that, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know that we have a really accurate assessment of how this current Jays roster is. Kenderson Morales kind of disappointed. I don't know if that's going to change. But if you go out and get Lorenzo Cain,
mm-hmm.
and I they're never going to do great on the pitching market. But you've got 4 above average starters.
Yep.
And if you get health from your players, they're at least a 500 team, don't you think?
Yeah. So if
they're in the wild card contention,
so
don't you think?
So if they stay healthy, they can be 500. That's what I took from that. I don't like that world. If you stay healthy, you're going to be 500.
But you think back to the first year they got into the playoffs and they made it to the championship series.
Yeah,
they were a wild card team that year. You know, they've been a wild card team and had success in the championships, you know, in the playoffs. So I do think there is a you just got to get in factor. Baseball is so random.
They won the AL East 2 years ago.
Sorry, it was last year.
Yeah, last year.
Sorry, it was last year. Yeah. Sorry, my apologies. I inverted them.
Thank you for apologizing. That was I was deeply hurt.
My point is, if you just get in, like, do you have to be the best team in baseball or even the best team in the AL? No, you don't have to be. You just have to be in the top 6.
Mm-hmm.
Can the Jays, if healthy, be in the top 6?
I don't know if they can, even with that, even if they are healthy, because, you know, it's not like Tulowitzki or Russell Martin are going to be getting any better, you know, and the outfield right now is a disaster. It is a disaster.
Although we're going into the winter meetings, and you do pick up pieces as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're going to get Lorenzo Cain, but if they got Jay Bruce, you add a little bit of power to the middle of the lineup. If they get nothing, then in February we're having a different discussion, and maybe they start shopping Donaldson then. I don't know. Maybe it's too late by then. I will say this, though. The team, the core of the team doesn't feel like a bad team to me. They're not the San Diego Padres. They don't stink. They're okay. And they're okay with a ton of injuries. So I'm just not into blowing it up.
That's fair. Oh, no, it's totally fair.
And I also don't like the philosophy. Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
But the league is always going to be getting better and worse in different places. It's always going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
I understand because there's no salary cap, even though there is a luxury tax, that the Yankees and the Red Sox are always going to be competitive. Always.
Yep.
Like, they don't rebuild. They just simply reload. I get that. But I hate I would hate if we had an organizational philosophy that said, well, the other teams look really good and we don't really feel like we have a chance, so we're just going to tuck our tails between our legs and go away. Because guess what? This team was 5th in attendance in all of Major League Baseball. We're not broke. We're not poor. Go figure it out.
Bob, don't go down the spend more money road, because, you know, then I'm going to go on 20 minutes of yelling, and no one needs that.
I could kind of use it.
You know,
my point is, like, rather than blow it up, wouldn't you rather see them suck it up and just get back in there and fight?
Yes, if there is a proper roadmap for that. I don't see it. You see it more than I do. So that's why I'm not like yelling and screaming at you like, no, you're a fool, because what you say makes sense. There is logic there. I look at the roster, I look at the positional players, and I see old or mediocre or guys who get hurt all the time.
Yeah, the age is the big one. The age is the biggest argument against what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because this team, it's hard to imagine the
health. Where are the 25-year-olds of consequence?
And Devin Travis could be that, but he's been hurt all the time. And
exactly.
Aaron Sanchez, is this going to be a problem with him? This blister issue he has? We don't know.
Yeah.
Love Marcus Stroman.
Mm-hmm. Love him.
You know, Jay Happ, Marco Estrada, like, these guys aren't going to be Jays for much longer.
No. Nope.
I think they got one more year in this.
And this one more year is the last year of Donaldson before his contract.
Right. And then maybe there's the chance where you just lose him and you don't get anything back. And
yep.
That would kind of suck.
That would kind of suck. You know, I have one thought on Giancarlo Stanton. You are the least original person ever. Oh, where were the two places you wanted to go? L.A. or New York? I am waiting, and this is my demand to, and this is all sports. I am waiting for the first ball player to say, if you don't trade me to Cincinnati, then I'm not going anywhere. I will waive my no trade clause for somewhere in Ohio. Beyond that, if I'm not a Red, then I'm staying here.
Didn't you just describe LeBron James? Literally to the Ohio point?
Yeah, but he did leave to go to Miami. He came back.
But he came back.
He came back.
He came back. I think that's one of the things we love about LeBron. Is
yeah, they came back. He went back to his home.
Everyone thought he would go to New York.
Yeah.
And he is going to go to Los Angeles next.
Yeah, exactly. Once again, proving my point. Just one ball player. Oh, so predictable. Where do you want to go? L.A. or New York? Anywhere else? No.
Where would you want to go?
You know, maybe Los Angeles or the New York area. Those places are both really awesome. Bob, I'm not saying I'm not a hypocrite. What I am saying is I want one player to come out and just be original.
So this is my actual takeaway, which is ownership that expects a hometown discount from its star players. Gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
So we heard over the weekend this discussion that Erik Karlsson, would they actually consider trading him because
yeah.
he's not willing to take a hometown discount on his next contract? Just has to be the stupidest conversation ever, right?
Yep.
The expectation that because you have played in a market that you will make less money as you possibly could because you've been somewhere already.
Yeah.
And I wonder to what extent, like, fans still buy into it, because I feel like when we started in sports in the mid-90s, you could really beat the drum on that and people would like vilify those players.
Greedy athlete, greedy athlete, greedy athlete.
We don't really do the greedy athlete thing anymore, do we?
We do less of it.
That used to be a thing.
Oh,
that was a thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely it was. And I get it. I mean, I get why fans do it, because they work hard and they make, you know, the average fan doesn't make a ton of money. And then they see an individual doing something that they would love to do. And they would, I'd do it for free. But now they're holding out because they want $2 million more. And I understand where that emotion comes from, even though, you know, the player does something that so few people can do. We don't complain about authors or musicians or actors. We only do it with athletes.
And to bring this back to the Jays, I heard the argument made that Aroldis Chapman was traded and then re-signed as a free agent with the Yankees later.
Yep.
So maybe that's something you could do with Josh Donaldson. Mm-hmm. You trade him and then you sign him back at the end of it, and then you get the assets and you get the player.
That'd be great.
That would be great.
That'd be a perfect scenario.
It doesn't happen very often, does it?
It rarely happens. And with Karlsson, I am curious if he's like, nope, I want the max. And Drew Doughty said the same thing. Drew Doughty said, yeah, you know, I mean, obviously the starting point is PK Subban at $9 million, and he should be paid more than that, and I know I should be paid more than that. So you're starting to see a little bit of it, and I wonder how the hockey culture is going to handle that when the player says, pay me what I deserve.
When I hear a great player say, I really want to make it work in this lousy market, you know what I think? Mm. Oh, it's too bad. That's too bad. Because isn't it a shame to watch Karlsson languish in Ottawa? Mm-hmm. Isn't it a shame? Like, John Tavares, if he does wind up staying with the Islanders, wouldn't the NHL be so much better off if he wound up going to Tampa Bay or San Jose, or if somehow they could figure out their cap issues? As much as I would hate to see it, it'd be more interesting if he went to Montreal.
I don't want to see... No.
It'd be more interesting?
It'd be more interesting. I don't want to see Tavares in Montreal, and definitely not Tampa. They're doing fine in Tampa, Bob. They don't need any more help. They got lots of young talent. They're
I feel
good.
Like everybody should go to San Jose, because they're the team on the West Coast that you can love.
Yeah, exactly.
Just go to the Sharks.
Go to the Sharks. Create a super team there. Only face them twice a year. We're fine.
Yeah, it'd be Jumbo John when you go there. Just take over for Thornton. It drives me absolutely crazy that there is any expectation on the part of fan or ownership that the place... I mean, I think two lockouts pretty much summed it up, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We're in this for the money.
Yeah. Eugene Melnyk.
So anyway, anyone who's thinking Josh Donaldson is going to give the Jays a break...
Not going to happen.
You can park your unicorn right out here. My wife left for work. We've got an open spot on our parking pad.
Oh, yeah, right. You do right now. By the way, when I first saw your wife walk by, I didn't know who it was. I thought
she'd gone to work. Like in
the house? Yeah. And no, my first thought was, you have a cleaning lady, and he didn't want to tell me.
So wait a minute.
That was
you thought the wife was our clean. We thought my wife was our cleaning lady.
I saw a flash of just like a human being moving as I was looking at you out of the corner of my eye, and for a half, because I've never been here when Sandra's here. So my precedent is, oh, she's off at work, and so my first thought for a half second was, oh, is that a cleaning lady? Please let it be a cleaning lady, because you know, in this dynamic where I'm Richie Rich and Bob is the proletariat, the working class hero, something to be. I'm like, oh, that was going to be delicious, so, and then it was taken away.
Cause not to snatch victory out of the jaws of defeat.
Already was.
Okay, so how do you think Sandra's going to react to when I tell her that you thought she was the cleaning lady, that you thought she was from Molly Maid?
I don't know. Fine. Because
badly.
Why?
Badly.
Why? I see a flash of a human being that looks taller than your daughter. It was, you know, it was in the hallway there. It's when she,
by the way, Matt, not that you look Richie Rich, that you would assume a person in a house that you don't recognize must be like part of the cleaning staff, as opposed to someone who lives in the house.
Yes, Bob, you have to remember my,
I don't know what your expectations are, Matt, or what you're used to. My
thought process.
Oh, I don't recognize that person. They must be the staff.
Thought process was, I've never seen Sandra. There seems to be another human being in this house. Maybe they have a cleaning lady. And then a second later...
That's my point.
And then the second later when Sandra walked through the kitchen and there's light, I'm like, oh, look, it's Sandra.
So there's that.
So do you have any suggestions for a car for me?
I do. I've been looking a little bit into it.
Get
out of here. The Toyota RAV4 is pretty good.
Yeah. And the worst is the numbers. Like when my friends will go, oh, yeah, the new SR8 is out, I'm like, did you sink my battleship? Like, what does that mean? They throw out letters and numbers, and everyone knows it's this weird language. And I spent the weekend, Bob, doing research on cars, and I put it out on Twitter, and Bruce Arthur and a lot of other people were sending me suggestions. And all I want is for my twin brother, who's smart, to just say, Matt, point to a red car, because all I want is it to be red.
Okay, so I got to ask, what kind of GM do you want to be here? Are you a spend and sign GM, mm-hmm. or are you going to be the guy who looks for value?
I just want to, I want a good car, but one that's going to last me 12 years.
So you want value?
Yeah. I'm not these people that, like, because I'm not a car guy. You know, people that lease and then they get a new car every 3 years and they upgrade to the new RX-7, you know, I don't care. I want a good car that I know will last me 12 years.
So here's my recommendation, because I don't know anything about cars, but I do know about making decisions.
Okay.
Write down the things that are important to you and work backwards. Reverse engineer this. Don't look for the car. Look for the satisfaction and then figure out what car actually does those things for the best price.
Mm-hmm.
So what's important to you? Like, does it matter if it has lots of bells and whistles?
No, I don't give a bleep about bells and whistles. Also, I just learned a big feature for cars is connectivity, or like, will it work on your Bell AutoPlay or something, like, or your Apple CarPlay? And I was looking at a car, and that was one of the cons. Does not hook up with Apple CarPlay. I'm like, why would I give a bleep about that? I have a BlackBerry and an iPod. So bells and whistles mean nothing.
So there you go. Maybe you should get a used car.
Oh, I would. I would totally get a used car if it's not that used, because I want something that's going to last.
Why don't you get like a gnarly James Bond type used car? Like, go get like an Aston Mini or something.
I feel that would be expensive. When you use the words James Bond and car, I feel that's expensive.
Yeah, but everything's expensive now anyway.
That doesn't help.
They don't even, you're going to get a crappy car unless it has bells and whistles.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people are not like you. They do like that stuff.
Yeah.
And so if it's not offered, it's generally attached to a mediocre car with a mediocre engine and so on and so forth. So I don't know if you're going to get a car that lasts a long time and looks great and handles great, but also has no bells and whistles. I just don't even know if they make those anymore.
I have no idea.
They probably don't. I think you need a used car, buddy.
I would. I got no problem with that at all. I'm gonna. That's the next 2 weeks. In 2 weeks' time, I will have a new car. I'm not dragging this out.
What will happen first? You have a new car or I have my license?
That's not even close.
I don't mean license. I mean 365.
Not even close. Unless you get that 365 in the next 2 weeks. Good luck with that.
Yeah, you're not going to get a car in 2 weeks.
Yes, I am.
It's Christmas time.
Yeah, exactly. I've been told that this is the best time because they're trying. It's the end of year. They got the inventory. And I'm going to go into a car dealership and I'm going to go to the car dealer person and be like, hey, how's your Christmas shopping coming? Yeah? Got all the toys you want for your children? Well, it's time for you to make a sale. So you're going to have to, I'm going to have the leverage or something like that.
When we bought our car, and this goes back, you know, 10, 12 years, whatever it was, I love listening to used car, like I love listening to car salesmen talk about how they're like your pal and they're going to do something special for you. This one guy did my favorite thing. So they had a big, you know, they got the in-store special and whatever they're going to do, financing, X, Y, Z. And so we read through it and the guy says, okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to see what I can get from the guy in the back, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go.
Yeah.
In the classic movie. Yeah. Right? So he goes and he comes back 10 minutes later and he outlines the deal they're willing to do.
Yeah.
And it is exactly the deal that they are advertising. Exactly.
Oh, God. I am just so, because my thing is, I hate saying no. I don't like to disappoint, you know, and I'm going to be miserable just going to try to find a new car. And I acknowledge, as problems go in life, oh, you've got to buy a new car.
Hey, a car's a big thing. Car connects you to your life. Without it, it's very difficult. I mean, I don't drive, but I still have Sandra who gets us around from one spot to another. Or you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Or oh, by the way, don't think that wasn't brought up on Twitter. I said, I got to get a new car. There was driving Bob jokes. Actually, our old producer, Todd Hayes. Came out. He made one joke about you about driving as well.
People never appreciated, I thought, the tweet that I sent out. I really liked it about how, I would never miss an MNC podcast taping for my car problems. Yeah. Sad.
Yeah, that was good. By the way, how long have Sandra had her car for?
Probably the mid-aughts.
Mid-aughts? Okay. Do you know what kind of car that you guys have?
Yeah, we got a Mitsubishi.
Okay, just checking.
Outlander.
Okay.
But I'm not 100% sure what the license plate is. I always have to remind myself what the license plate is.
Well, one final thought just to illustrate how dumb I am about cars.
Okay.
So 10, 11 years ago when I got my last car, I discovered what sedan meant. I thought it was like a type of car, like a Mitsubishi
isn't
or Chrysler.
It? Oh, no. It's a style of car.
Style of car. It's four doors and a trunk. I didn't know that. All my friends made fun of me. I learned on Saturday that Prius is a Toyota. I thought every line of car had their Prius. Oh, yeah, here's the Audi Prius, because I thought Prius was just...
was like a sedan.
Like a sedan. Like it's a...
Or a convertible.
Like I thought Prius just meant, oh, it's one of them cars that's good on gas. So I had no idea that Prius was just a Toyota or a Honda, whatever thing.
But, Matt, could the people who are shaming you list off Oscar winners the way you can?
No, absolutely not.
Well, then.
By the way, again, Lady Bird. That is going to win a lot of Oscars.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. Laurie Metcalf from Roseanne.
Acting ones?
Acting ones, yeah.
Yeah, because they want win. Because it's Greta Gerwig who directed it and wrote it. And she's too new to the game for them to give her big awards.
Yeah, but in this year where, you know, let's just say that men in Hollywood haven't exactly been haven't had exactly a great year, I think maybe, you know, there's some sort of reaction where, boom. You know, and by the way, she should be nominated. It's fantastic. I'm rooting for her to win right now.
Okay, and you make an interesting point just about how sometimes the
pendulum.
The consciousness sort of swings to a point where people are like, okay, well, we should take this more seriously than maybe in years past we would have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good point. Shall we get to, speaking of movies, it feels like a perfect place to get to the top five because one of the biggest events of the year is merely days away.
Days away. Yep, the new Star Wars movie coming out. Oh, I'm so excited. So I'm going to do...
Are you going to do Thursday night?
Probably not. My only thing is I don't buy tickets ahead of time. I will not buy a ticket ahead of time. You got to buy it there. You got to line up. I'm very old man when it comes to movie tickets.
Now, Is there any actual reason why you wouldn't pre-buy a ticket? Or just the fact that you won't do it?
It's principle. To me, the joy of going to a movie that's new is when you line up. And no one likes lineup, but for the movies, it's the one time. And you feel that sense of accomplishment. And also, it's a sense of you and the rest of the people. I like being with all the people there. It's like a shared experience that no longer exists because everyone's in their little hovel, in their little echo chamber with the internet where they can do everything within 8 feet of their home. And they don't go out and engage with other humans, which has hurt our ability to communicate and has sapped our ability of empathy. So, yes, I will line up.
Cause, that's a really pretty sounding filibuster, but are you really going to argue about how Western civilization has been dehumanized by the absence of long lines?
Yes. In the case, yes, because things are so easy now, which is good in a lot of ways, but there is consequences of it.
So maybe instead of standing in a line for 3 hours to go and see something, maybe you could take those 3 hours and volunteer, hang out with friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to standing by yourself with a bunch of strangers.
Maybe I'll have friends and family with me. And maybe this will be my new family, Bob.
You can
Bob.
See my point, though, Matt.
These are my lineup
this
family.
This is the robots argument. They're going to free up time for us to do things that we otherwise couldn't do. I refuse categorically to accept this argument that you, on principle, won't pre-buy.
I will
so
not.
So that you may stand in line.
Yes. Yes, it's 100% true. I remember when I saw Batman, the original, the Jack Nicholson, Michael Keaton one, and we had to line up for hours to get the ticket. And then we had to line up again for another hour or so we had a good seat.
All right.
And by the way, hold on.
Let's just go down the road here.
When the lights went down, I was so, it felt so good. We accomplished.
So all you restaurant owners, here's my suggestion. Have the service be really, really slow.
Different.
So that I can sit there with my friends at the table and we can have a conversation. And when the food does get there, oh, how we'll love it. Oh, how we'll feel we earned it.
Bob.
No, whatever you do, don't bring me that food quickly and hot.
If you want to continue,
stretch it out.
If you want to continue with your intellectually dishonest comparison, that is fine.
Don't fake news me. That is a perfectly fine comparison.
It is not.
Because, yes, it is. Because you're saying that
I go to the restaurant because I'm hungry. Feed me. I'm hungry.
I go to the movies because I want to watch a movie.
I'm sorry, Bob. I didn't know you hated anticipation.
Yes. No, it's not that I hate it. I'm anticipating now. This is great. Thursday's coming. But you know what isn't anticipation? Standing out in the cold for 4 hours with a bunch of strangers so that I can go and do something that I could have done in no time if I simply would have gone on the internet and pre-ordered.
You know what, Bob? This feels like the start of the podcast. Here you are, judging me for something that doesn't impact you at all, just like I judge the Mackowitz family for their abomination of a fake Christmas tree, even though it doesn't affect me at all.
And if I may, Matthew, this is classic cause where you turn around and blame people for doing exactly what you just finished doing, where you castigated anyone who would pre-order a ticket. In fact, you're the one who opened up the judgment Pandora's box. I was happy to go along and talk about the movie, but you needed to filibuster to shame people according to your own private desires.
We're out of time. Bye, Bob.
Is that true? Really? Are we really out of time?
Bye, Bob.
We're not going to do the top five?
We got no time.
What do you mean?
We're at 58 minutes. This would have been such a perfect goodbye right there when I went, goodbye, Bob, and you did the cha-cha.
Well, you kind of shocked me. You pulled it out of nowhere. I thought you were doing a bit.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye, Bob.
Bye. Cha-cha.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.